This morning, I read from the Inclusive Bible prepared by Priests for Equality, which is a worldwide movement of women and men, lay and religious. Not merely do they replace male pronouns, but they also have translated the Bible into modern English while retaining the power and the poetry of the original, and much more. So first, the reading from Acts. In my earlier account, Theophilus, I dealt with everything that Jesus had done and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up. After he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After the Passion, Jesus appeared alive to the apostles, confirmed through many convincing proofs, over the course of 40 days, and spoke to them about the reign of God. On one occasion, Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem. Wait, rather, for what God has promised, of which you have heard me speak, Jesus said. John baptized with water, but within a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. While meeting there, they asked, "Has the time come, Rabbi? Are you going to restore sovereignty to Israel?" Jesus replied, "It's not for you to know times or dates that Abba God has decided. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." Having said this, Jesus was lifted up in a cloud before their eyes and taken from their sight. They were still gazing up into the heavens when two messengers dressed in white stood beside them. "You Galileans, why are you standing here looking up at the skies? Jesus, who has been taken from you, this same Jesus, will return in the same way you watched him go into heaven." Here ends the reading from the book of Acts. And then from Ephesians. This is from Paul, as he says, to the holy ones in Ephesus. "In Christ we were willed an inheritance, for in the decree of God, and everything is administered according to the divine will and counsel, we were predestined to praise the glory of the Most High by being the first to hope in Christ. In Christ you too were chosen, when you heard the good news of salvation, the word of truth, and believed in it, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance, the deposit paid against the full redemption of a people who are God's own, to the praise of God's glory. From the time I first heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the holy ones, I have never stopped thanking God for you and remembering you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Savior Jesus Christ, the God of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation to bring you to a rich knowledge of the Creator. I pray that God will enlighten the eyes of your mind, so that you can see the hope this call holds for you, the promised glory that God's holy ones will inherit, and the infinitely great power that is exercised for us who believe. You can tell this from the strength of God's power at work in Jesus, the power used to raise Christ from the dead and to seat Christ in heaven at God's right hand, far above every sovereignty, authority, power, or dominion, and above any other name that can be named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. God has put all things under Christ's feet and made Christ as the ruler of everything, the head of the church. And the church is Christ's body. It is the fullness of the one who fills all of creation. Here ends the reading from Ephesians.
Ascension Day. Ascension Day is a national holiday in Norway and in many other countries in Europe, but I mention Norway specifically because Susan and I were actually in Norway once on Ascension Day. Even the banks were closed. We were visiting a cousin in Oslo, and we started plotting our touristy plans for the next few days, suggesting museums and stuff like that, and Cousin Marit declared, "Oh, we can't do that tomorrow. It's Ascension Day." Ascension Day? Yes, everything's closed. Well, how about the cathedral then? When are the services? "What services?" she replied. "For what?" Ascension Day. "What is Ascension Day?" she said. "Really?" Really? She, you know, they celebrate it. They didn't know what it was. And to be frank, for such a big deal, there really weren't very many people in church. Now, if Presbyterians celebrated feast days, Ascension would probably be one of the minor ones. The day itself is celebrated technically on Thursday, 40 days after Easter. Now, how it became a national holiday in so many countries is beyond me. Even countries with a national church, like Norway, it's a real head-scratcher. In Sweden, the Ascension Day tradition is to go out into the woods at 3 o'clock in the morning to hear the birds sing at sunrise. It's good luck, they say, if you hear a cuckoo from the east or from the west. It's called gokota. Now, I don't know Swedish, so if someone does, you can correct that. Gokota, which means early cuckoo morning. In England, Ascension Day is associated with water festivals, which Wikipedia says range from well dressings in Derbyshire, which is where my father's people hail from, to the planting of the penny hedge in Whitby, which is where St. Hilda, of course, taught the Venerable Bede to read. Other British customs include the beating of the bounds, which involved beating boys with willow branches as they were driven along the parish boundaries to purify them from evil and to make sure they learned the limits of the parish. My guess is that neither of those worked. Also in England, eggs laid on Ascension Day were said never to go bad and will guarantee you good luck if you put an egg on the roof. If weather is sunny on Ascension Day, the summer will be long and hot. This is reminiscent of Groundhog's Day. If it rains on Ascension Day, crops will do badly and livestock will suffer from disease. In Florence, the feast of the Ascension was observed by having a dove slide down a string from the high altar in the front of the chancel, landing on this sort of big pot at the front of the cathedral, lighting it where all the firecrackers would go off. You can't make this stuff up. Closer to our theological home, Johann Sebastian Bach composed several cantatas to be performed in church services on this feast day. One of his Ascension Day pieces, for example, sounds something like this. Now that is Ascension Day. Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Have you ever tried to explain Ascension Day using words? It really isn't easy. In a combination of accounts, mainly from the pen of Luke, from his gospel, and then from the book of Acts, which Susan read this morning, this is how it goes. Jesus met several times with the disciples during the 40 days following the resurrection to continue his teachings and to prepare them for the work ahead, which would be accomplished, sadly, without him. Then, after those 40 days, he took the disciples up to the Mount of Olives, where, with astonishment and some sense of abandonment, they saw him ascend into heaven, as it says in our creeds, to sit at the right hand of God. Ascension marks the end of the season of Easter, and Ananda has been quick to remind us that Easter is not just a day, but indeed it is a season. And it leads us right up to the brink of Pentecost, which we, as we said, will celebrate next week, the official birthday of the church, which the Spirit sets us ablaze, which we will celebrate with beefless burgers, birthday cake, and good old-fashioned fellowship. The inclusive version of the collect from the Book of Common Prayer for Ascension Day goes like this. O God, the mighty one of glory, you have exalted Jesus Christ with great triumph to your dominion in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Savior Christ has gone before. Ascension Day, especially for 21st century progressive Protestants like us, is a hard sell. It would be easy indeed for us to default back into Mother's Day, which is a fine holiday with a commendable history rooted in peace and justice, but sadly, it is not a liturgical holy day. If we did that, we would be able to avoid the topic of ascension altogether. But we are braver than that, aren't we? Instead, what I want to suggest is this. It seems to me that the church throughout the centuries has spent far too much ink on the physical mechanics of the ascension or the departure of Jesus, while not putting enough energy into mulling over its meaning for those of us who have been left behind. Reflecting on this morning's text, I'm struck that the disciples are once again found flat-footed, gawking up into the sky, utterly lost on how to proceed, which is, of course, understandable given the circumstances. Jesus had just left them behind. They were all alone. but they had each other. Why do you stand looking up into heaven? Did you not hear what Jesus said? The disciples were asked. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to all the ends of the earth. Sometimes I think it's comforting to see that Earth's first Christians were caught sort of slack-jawed and flat-footed like this. It's comforting to me anyway, because when we go on, we realize that the diagnosis is that we need not remain, in fact, we must not remain as having flat-footedness a permanent affliction. Though it is safer and less demanding to be a spectator, for example, clearly what Jesus was and is looking for is a witness. The language of the last few Sundays, we've said he's always cultivating and working on those branches that will bear good fruit, people who will do good work in the world, who will follow his lead. The mystery of the Ascension and next week's Pentecost is that the mission to heal the sick and feed the hungry and preach the good news of justice and love is no longer simply embedded in Jesus alone. The mission now falls on the disciples, and further, as Jesus told his disciples immediately following his liftoff, that they were to take his ministry global to the ends of the earth. So why do you stand there looking toward heaven? Indeed. So here's what the Ascension Sunday Jesus says, I think, to the church. It's time to stop looking up into the clouds. It's time to get going. It's time to hit the streets. St. Teresa of Avila offered this unforgettable prayer as if positioned just for today, for Ascension Sunday. She prayed, God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the world and its need. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone. Ours are the feet with which we are about to go and do good. Ours is the call to leave the place where we gaze at the clouds, and then we go into the place where the world needs us most. We are not alone. We're in it together. And we don't have to go too far afield to find ways in which we might become Jesus' hands and feet and heart and conscience and mouth in our world, in our community. As we said, even before we leave this sanctuary, we'll have one of those chances to cast our gaze earthward, averting our eyes from that spectacle of heaven. As many of you know, you here at First Press have been a national leader in the denomination's fossil fuel divestment movement, organizing nationally to pass overtures at the last two general assemblies. Well, it is, as we know, as Presbyterians, a long and uphill battle, but we continue to feel that call as we prepare for this year's general assembly, this time in June in St. Louis. And then again, right here today, you'll have that opportunity to take a moment of action by signing on in support of Senate Bill 964, which will require a serious discussion within our largest public pension funds to consider climate-related risk as part of their fiduciary duty. Indeed, right here, we tackle this Ascension Day challenge to find small and large ways to reduce global warming and to mitigate its effects. For the love of the earth, for the love of the earth that God so loved, we move from being spectators to witnesses. See, this is how we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. Not by beating the bounds of the parish, not by putting an egg on the roof for good luck, and certainly not by lighting up a bird. Go, Jesus said. Go. And so we shall. The disciples looked up to heaven, and they looked around to each other, and they began to recognize the presence of their beloved brother, Jesus, in their midst and in each other. Let us, too, go forth confident in God, rejoicing in each other, and then await our surprise. The Spirit comes on Pentecost. Stay tuned. Paul sends us there saying, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, may you know what is the hope to which God has called you. Amen.